Welcome to Living Life in the Anne, for the woman who is set on getting everything she effing deserves. I am your host, Dr. Stephanie D. Barnes, your best life transformation strategist. I help women to get everything they desire and deserve in life by equipping them with powerful strategies for immediate implementation to achieve fulfillment. Because life is too long to live unfulfilled. It's time. Girl, it's time. It's time for you to get everything you desire and deserve. It's time for you to live your life on purpose and to live a life of fulfillment, meaning, and joy. It's time. It's time for you to walk boldly in the power of your decisions. Because girl, if you're going to be in this world, you need to be fulfilled in this life. Life is too long to live unfulfilled. Join me for another episode of Living Life in the End, where you learn how to achieve fulfillment and commit to completing all the desires of your heart. Hey, I'm glad that you've joined me for a Living Life in the End masterclass. These masterclasses are series-based, where you get powerful strategies that help you to make powerful decisions to create the life you desire and deserve. Because remember, the power of your decisions drives the intensity of your fulfillment. Your life is a product of your choices. Well, you need some strategies to back up those choices. So when you join the masterclass series, you will get a great deal of information that you can turn into strategies that you can develop plans to get the life you desire and deserve. Because it doesn't happen just because you want it to. It happens because you decide to implement strategies that get you there. So grab a notebook, grab a pen, get yourself centered, and get ready to learn powerful strategies for powerful decisions to create the life you desire and deserve. And remember, make sure that you catch all of the different parts of the series so that you get the full impact of these teachings. It is my pleasure to bring you the Living Life in the End Masterclass series. It's time. It's time to get everything you desire and deserve. Let's get it. So this series, actually, we're going to complete our series on mindfulness. It's more than meditation. How to create the life you desire and deserve with intention. And hopefully you've gotten a chance to watch the previous three briefings in this series. And in part one, I reminded you or told you, mindfulness, what is it really? In part two, we learned that mindful plus deliberate equals living your best life. And in part three, we learned how to get your mind ready for the next and highest version of you. So I want to start out with just doing a quick review as we move into part four. The magic of mindfulness is in the action element. So let's review briefly. Remember, mindfulness is a conscious decision to be aware of your thoughts, your behaviors, your actions, your intentions, and your desires. And the three components of mindfulness: your presence, where and how you show up, your intention, what you intend to do, what you focus on, and your attention, what you give your focus to. So as we discussed in the last briefing, getting your mind ready for the next and highest version of you, we learned that mindfulness in action is meditation. We finally talked about meditation in part three. Reconciliation, where you ensure that through mindfulness, your actions reconcile to what it is you say you desire or deserve. dedication, where you develop discipline around this being a daily action, and then transformation, when you truly become your intentions in action. And so intentionality in your everyday actions, literally meditating and inviting the power of the pause, where you invite that opportunity to reconcile and dedicate yourself to those behaviors, actions, inactions, thoughts, intentions, and desires that transform to what you desire to serve. And of course, getting your mind right was the actual meditation, intentionality or mindfulness in action, intentionality in your everyday actions. Your not list is knowing what you don't want, is the path of knowing what you desire. And then the most important thing, your decisions, where you choose to cut off all options other than the one that will lead you to the thoughts, actions, desires, behaviors that support what it is that you want to do. So, you know, I am a master strategist. I have a strategy for everything. I've been strategizing actually since I was a little girl, and I didn't realize at the time that that's what I was doing, was strategizing, but I've always had a plan, So the thing though that I have learned to appreciate, and especially as I have become older and more aware of what it is I'm actually doing, and actually as I've studied strategic planning in my profession, I'm a strategic planner. You know, I help businesses, people to develop plans to carry out their goals, because nothing happens without a plan. So, you know, but the thing that I have become, learned to appreciate in my own life and helping clients and learning from others who are successful is that nothing will happen magically. It just won't. And nothing happens by waiting. You know, you can sit around and wait, and you might get lucky and something may drop in your lap, but for the most part, it doesn't. And, you know, I'll tell you a story. You know, there was the year 2008. 2008 was my year to be great. I used to name my years. But 2008 was my year to be great. And 2007 had been just an awesome. No, 2008 was my year to be great. It was a great year. 2009 was my year to shine. Search how group I am. Anyway, 2008 was a year to be great. 2009 was my year to shine. But I remember kind of it was midsummer, and I really wasn't shining all that much. You know, things weren't really happening the way I thought they were going to, because I literally thought that because I had defined my purpose and, you know, that I was doing all these different things, I didn't really appreciate meditation and intention at that time. But, you know, I literally thought that because I had, you know, because I had faith that what I desired was going to magically happen. I really thought it was just going to appear. It was going to come to me. I wouldn't have to do anything. It was just because I had faith. I believed. And, you know, I literally, you know, thought that that's all it took was faith. And I remember driving home. I went home for lunch for whatever reason one day. I didn't do that very often, but for some reason I had to go by the house. And we were actually staying in a townhouse for the summer because we were building our home. For some reason I went by the house to change clothes or something, I don't know. But this song by K-John came on, "Someday My Ship Is Coming In." And that song came on and I just boo-hoo, cried the whole way, "My ship is coming in." I mean, just boo-hooing and crying. And some kind of way, going through that experience made me realize, well, you know, your ship isn't coming in. You're not doing anything to create the opportunity for the ship to come in. You're just sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tides roll away. That's Otis Redding song. But anyway, but that's when I really began the kind of preliminary mastery of intention
And I realized that, you know, despite the faith I had, and no matter how much I believed in what it was I wanted to do, nothing was going to happen unless I acted. I had to create the opportunity for my desires to emerge. They weren't just going to drop in my lap. And certainly there were some things. Because 2008 was like, when I say 2008 was great, it was. I mean, I just had this kind of all really cool and fortuitous things to happen. It was of little effort of my own. In some kind of way, I thought that that was just going to be the way it was going to be because I believed, but it didn't work out that way. I had to plan for it and to put it into action. And I'm sure you'll find the same thing for you. Nothing happens by waiting. You have to plan for it, and then you have to put your plan in action. Because the real magic in mindfulness is in your action plan. So that's what we're going to close out this series on. Get coming up with a plan. How do you do that? And so I'm going to share with you a basic framework that you can use to be mindful. Because remember, hopefully you've watched briefing number 3 when I talked about mindfulness in action. I talked about that I actually have a plan. That's my plan. That's my daily plan that gives me a framework for how I can achieve the things I need to achieve throughout the day. Now, my best days are days when I actually follow that. I have better results than days when I don't. But kind of, this is the literal like mapping out of a day to help me to see the possibility of my day. And this was a habit I started back in college. I changed my major 8 times, for real, 8 times. Unfortunately, I did it in the first 2 years of my college year, so I didn't lose a lot of hours. But because I think my second year, I dropped accounting. Y'all, I can't do accounting. I couldn't do real accounting. I couldn't do accounting for lawyers. I just can't do accounting. Anyway, can't get the debits and credit thing right. But anyway, I dropped accounting after I just couldn't do it. And I was not going to fail. Mm-mm. I was not going to make a C. And I definitely wasn't going to fail. And so I dropped the class and I changed the major and didn't need it anymore anyway. So in the fall semester, I had 11 hours, which means, you know, I was kind of behind in my hours. So the second semester, I took 18 hours trying to catch up so that I could still graduate on time. Because I think at this point, I had changed my major. I was probably into major 6. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so I was the previous semester too, I was in the band. I was just initiated into my sorority, so I had a very active social life. And I needed to make sure that I could do everything. And so, you know, it seemed overwhelming that it seemed like I couldn't get anything done. And so it seemed like there were not enough hours in the day. And one day I sat down at my desk. I remember this. I was in, I've forgotten the name of the dorm, Cresswell, somewhere. Anyway, I sat down in my dorm room and I literally mapped out my day, what time I would get up to the time I went to bed, to really figure out how many hours I had in between the time I got up and the time I went to bed and all the things I had to do. And I started calling this my stand plan. And it became a very critical tool for me to see the possibility in my day. You know, because on the one hand, you can think it's very anal retentive to map out your entire day. But on the other hand, it's very powerful because I literally could see the amount of hours I had. And as it turned out, I had plenty of time when I mapped things out. I was able to map out my social life because, you know, that was really important. I was able to map out the time I was in class, the time I practiced. I was a majorette. The time I practiced twirling my baton, the time I had to go to band practice, the time I had to study, everything that I needed to do, I was able to see the possibilities in my day. So planning is not only a great way to develop strategy. It is also quite the motivator, because a lot of times when we think that we can't do something, we become overwhelmed just from the thought that, oh my God, there's not enough time. I can't do this. It's too much. But when you map out your day or map out a plan and you feel you can see the possibility, it actually empowers you and motivates you to be able to do what seems to be impossible. So that's kind of one way. And that's really what this is. This is the mindful modern day Stanton. But that came about from my overall plan. I'll pull it down here because I'm in my office. So I've got all this stuff nearby. But I always talk about, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but this is my intentions. These are the 7 intentions that I have. And they are things that have not yet occurred, but I speak to them in the present day so that I can see the possibility. And my 3 themes are discipline, focus, and consistency. So you can tell this at the top has discipline, focus, and consistency. How am I going to achieve these things? Well, these are big goals. These are big ass goals, right? you know, so that's not something that's going to happen just by believing that it's going to happen. It starts with small incremental steps that I do every day or need to do most of the day. So this is the detailed plan that when I follow it consistently, when I develop discipline, when I focus on my goals, when I am consistent, I can achieve these big ass goals that I have over here. That just tickles me. Anyway, but they're big goals. They're big goals. They're scary goals. Like, but that's how you have to think about it. You know, you lay out the details as to what am I doing? What do I need to do right now that will enable me to do these big goals that are going to happen at some point in the future? You know, you can't just come up with your big goals and then just sit there and like, oh, I'm gonna meditate on my goals. I'm gonna sit on my goals. I'm gonna say them to myself every day and expect them to happen. You got to put the work in. You got to have a plan for how you're going to do that. So the meditation allows you to be mindful enough to come up with the goals, to focus on them, to feel what it feels like when you have accomplished them. And the affirmations get you in the mindset. Because when I say my goals daily, especially the ones that relate to finances, oh Lord Jesus, especially ones that relate to finances, it makes me make better choices in my finances. And that has always been a weakness. Always been a weakness. Y'all, I love acquiring things. I love buying art. Oh my God, I love buying art. Let's cook it. I love buying art. I love buying shoes. That went right back. Cricket drives me nuts. Anyway, I love buying stuff. But one of my big goals has to do with acquiring real estate. Well, I can't acquire my big real estate goals if I'm chipping away at my resources by buying itty bitty little things that bring me joy. Because I can't tell you how much joy my artwork and my shoes and my clothes. I'm not a big purse person. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of money on a purse. I would spend something ridiculous. I have spent some ridiculous, I'm just going to say it's ridiculous amount of money on art. But, you know, I can't continue to do that if one of my goals is one of the things that I say I desire and deserve is to acquire real estate. So saying the affirmation daily helps to remind me and helps to influence my choices. So one of the things that I have on here is when am I going to say my daily affirmations? When am I going to meditate? When am I going to pray and exercise? Because exercise is so incredibly important to me. It's a form of therapy. It keeps me healthy. I exercise for energy. I love it. It makes me feel good, but it also makes me look good in the clothes that I bought, right? But again, I've got a plan for those things. And so same thing for you. So I share all that to kind of give you some background and give you some context for how, important it is to really embrace the magic of planning. If you want magical things to happen in your life, it begins with the plans that you make for in order to allow that to happen. So I'm going to give you an overview of a mindfulness action plan, a mindfulness action plan. And one of the things that you'll notice, if you stick with me, if you work with me, these are some elements that show up time and time again in many respects, whether it is a plan for mindfulness, whether you want to call it your career plan, whether you want to call it your business plan, not a business plan, but a plan to, you know, do well in business and whatever it is. These are some elements that I hope you, well, I know that, like I said, if you stick with me for this, to me, you'll hear these elements again, but they're fundamental elements that can help you to achieve anything. So the first thing, the first part, so get out some paper. Hopefully you've been taking notes throughout these briefings, but get out some paper and actually write this out. And you will have an outline for an action plan. So the first thing is to write down your vision. That's the first part, your vision. You know, you gotta see it before you see it. You gotta see it before you see it. So you gotta know, you know, what does this thing look like? Whatever it is, your career, your relationship. Because these are things, by the way, this plan can be a big plan, or it can be something specific that you use for a particular goal. So maybe you have several different plans. You have a plan for your relationship. You have a plan for your career. You have a plan for your finances. You have a plan for so forth. You know, you can use these elements in whatever plan, but it's all about being mindful, being aware. The point of this is to get you to the discipline to where you are aware of your thoughts, your beliefs, your actions, your behaviors, your inactions as it relates to what it is you say, you desire, and deserve, so that you can align your intentions with your actions. Writing gives things significance. All right, so the first thing is your vision. And so basically what you're going to ask yourself, what do your belief systems look like when you have optimized your strengths and opportunities? You know, because this all, remember, it all begins with your mindset. So what does that look like? How do you feel? What does that look like to you? How does that manifest? What is your vision for how you are? I know when I think about when I have attained a level, well, I would say when I have attained mastery of my mindfulness. I don't believe I'll ever get like to the pinnacle, because I believe it's an evolving thing. It's mastery, because I want to continue to become better and better and better. I want to have so much zen where I'm blowing when I walk. But peace, that's the vision that I have for when I have attained the level of mindfulness that I desire and deserve. It's peace, serenity, assurance. Peace is kind of the driving factor, okay? But what is it for you? What does it look like? What does it feel like, okay? Then you wanna ask yourself, what do you need to sharpen? What do you need to sharpen? So that's number two, that's the second part of your outline. What do you need to sharpen? And this requires you to really think about your strengths, okay? And you think about your strengths in terms of where are the opportunities for you to sharpen those strengths and make them even better. Like, I am a master strategist. Okay, that's a strength I want to continue to sharpen, you know, as it relates to what it is that I want to do. But you think about, you know, what are your top three strengths that you need to optimize? And, you know, you may have 50 strengths, but it's hard. You can't focus on 50. Three is a good number. 5, 7 is stretching it. Kind of more than that, it starts to get to be overwhelming. So you can do sets of threes. I'm going to do these three in this time period. You know, if you find that you have more. But again, whittled it down to focus sized goals. Okay. So sharpen. All right. Now that you've sharpened, the other side of that is grind. What are the top three weaknesses that you must leverage in opportunities? I share one of mine. I can come up with a great plan. My weakness is I can be inconsistent with following the plan. I've got to grind that down to something that I can leverage as an opportunity. So, you know, one of the things that I do, since I know that I struggle with consistency, is having people to help me be accountable. Saying I'm going to do it for someone else, telling someone I'm going to do something at a certain time, a certain place, and it helps me a lot of times. So, you know, to the right people, I tell my big ass goals to, you know, and that helps me to be accountable. Then the next thing, the third part of your framework, is obliterate. Obliterate. What are the weaknesses that you must stop, abandon, or eliminate to avoid self-destruction? Okay, so we talked about, because some weaknesses are opportunities to become strengths by partnering with someone, by getting a coach, by developing discipline. But some stuff you just need to straight up stop. Compulsive spending. That's something that I need to obliterate. That has no place in my plan. It's fun to do, but it has no place in my plan. So that's something that I need to obliterate. So you need to think about, what are your weaknesses that you just need to just straight up stop, abandon, or eliminate to avoid self-destruction? There's not a way to turn that into a positive because it works so counter to your goals. All right? So now, shine. You know, I like to shine. So the fourth part of your framework is shine. Ask yourself, what are the top three opportunities that you can leverage to strengthen your strengths or lessen a threat? So when you think about your strengths, like, I'm a master strategist. I need to develop consistency. That's a weakness. The thing I need to obliterate is compulsive shopping. And an opportunity for me is partnering with others. I tend to do a lot of stuff by myself. I'm a loner. I'm an introvert. I like being by myself. I'm better when I partner with others. So my introversion is an opportunity to leverage that and to allow it to become a strength by connecting with others whom I can learn from, whom I can work with, collaborate with, etc. Okay? All right, so then we get to slice. What are three threats that could be the most detrimental to what it is you desire? And you need to whittle away with those. And so these can be external things. You know, for example, right now, the economy is a threat to all of us, but me in particular. You know, the economy could be a threat, but it also could be an opportunity. So, you know, you have to look at things realistically. All of this helps you to focus. And one of the things you may notice is this applies the SWOT analysis. I love that tool. I learned it when I was in corporate America, and it is an awesome tool that you can just use for so many different things, for your personal growth, business growth, et cetera. But a SWOT analysis is where you identify your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So as you can tell, we kind of work through that, and you're doing that as it applies to what it is you desire and deserve. And then the most important thing are the strategies. This is a strategy, okay? So this is what you will do to address each of the issues that you've identified. Your strengths, your weaknesses, opportunities, threats, etc. And it's important to be smart. Use smart goals. Specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time bound. SMART goals. So one of the things that I have found to develop consistency and accountability for myself is to give myself a timeline. So let's see. Yeah, so this is like, yeah, I showed you my little, my big goals. And over there, I've got like all the things that I want to do this year that kind of help me to get to some of these things. Because all of it, I'm not going to accomplish in 1 year. But that list, that strategy list is a lot more detailed. And for the most part, it's SMART goals, things I want to do. Everything that I've stated there is stated in an action. So one of my goals, and I'll just tell on myself, I'll just be honest. That's what I'm going to be honest. One of my goals is to play the full Moonlight Sonata on the piano. Y'all, I have been playing the first page of the Moonlight Sonata for 20 years. So like, you know, it's the score is 4 pages. I've been playing the first page and the quarter of the second page. You know why I can't play the whole song? Because I will never sit down and practice. Well, I know that if I practice 3 times a week, 20 minutes a day, eventually I can play a Moonlight Sonata by the end of the year. Now, have I done it? No. That's one thing that this year I've just not done. It's on my schedule. So now that I've told on myself, well, guess what? Now I've got to start practicing so that those of you who are watching and you see me later on, you're like, ah, how's it going with the Moonlight Sonata? And I won't have to be looking crazy and saying, oh, well, I still haven't practiced. I still can only play the first page. So, you know, but again, you come up with your strategies. And your strategies, that's really where the magic is. Because all these other things aren't effective and don't move the needle until you develop a strategy around it. What will you do? Right? What will you do? And again, you've got to be smart, be specific. Not something, you know, oh, I want to be a millionaire. Although that's kind of specific. I want to be rich. I want to be rich is aspiration. What does rich mean? That doesn't have a definition. I want to be a millionaire by 2021. That is specific. What do you want to be? A millionaire. How do you quantify a millionaire? That means that your assets are of at least, your assets have a net value of $1 million over your liabilities, right? So that's one thing I did kind of figure out from accounting. But your net worth is at least $1 million. When are you going to do it? So that's the specific, that's the measurable, you can measure it. Achievable, okay. So what are you going to do to achieve it? I'm going to win the lottery, okay. Is that really achievable? What are the odds? All right. But I can sell X number, whatever. You know, you come up with a plan around that. Is it relative, realistic rather? And then is it time bound? Yes. So perhaps if it may not be realistic to do that by 2021, but you set a date that's a stretch date, it's still realistic. And it depends on what it is you're going to do to attain $1 million. But you see how that goes? And so that's what you have to do. And the last thing, I know I said strategies. Actually, it's 2 more things. I forgot. My bad. Because these are the support things. So those are the actions. So let me just rewind for just a moment and review. Your vision, set your vision. You know, what do you want it to look like? What does your belief system look like? What is your mindfulness attainment look like? What does it feel like? What do you have to sharpen? Your top 3 goals, your top 3 strengths. What do you have to grind? Your top 3 weaknesses that you can leverage in opportunities. What do you have to obliterate? You got to get rid of it. You got to stop it, abandon it, eliminate it because it is just detrimental to you. What do you have to shine? You know, what are your opportunities that you can leverage to become strengths? What do you need to slice? What are threats? 3 threats that can be the most detrimental to what it is you desire and deserve. And then what are your strategies? So those are things that you do. That's all about you. The last two, one is your SWAT team, your SWOT team, your SWAT team. Who do you need to help you to achieve your goals? Do you need to engage a coach? Do you need to have an accountability partner? What kind of circle of influence do you need? By the way, of course, if you need a coach, holla at your girl. But honestly, you have to ask that question. Is this something that I can do on my own, or do I need someone with greater experience, expertise, or enlightenment that can help? So I am truly committed to mindfulness, so much so that I've decided to actually take a certification class in meditation because I want to learn the discipline. I want to learn more about it. This is more than what I can do on my own. So I'm going to get me a SWAT team, if you will, of people who are trained in meditation. So that's one thing that I've decided to do to really boost my mindfulness. And then the last thing is your stash. You know, your stash. What resources, investments, or tools do you need to achieve your goals? Your stash. You know, what do you need to achieve your goals? Because that's part of the planning, is to really think about what it is that you need to accomplish to get your goals. You know, is it software? Is it a class? Is it a degree? You know, it could be a lot of different things, but usually it does involve an investment of some kind, if nothing more than an investment of time. This is a great tool, okay? And this is what I have figured out is a great resource and tool that I need, okay? And so I adapt this in so many different ways. So that's how you get to action, develop your action plan to ensure that your mindfulness has the magic it needs to transform you into the life you desire and deserve. So it's that simple, that complex. But here's the thing. Now that you know the magic of mindfulness is in the action plan, this is where you've really got to commit to making CEO moves. You got to commit to making things happen. Hopefully you've written down your framework. Well, don't wait. Don't wait till tomorrow to begin. Don't wait till later on to begin. Start right now. Don't wait. Weight broke the scale. Get started right now. And even if it's something small, whatever, if it's something you've identified, especially if you've already been thinking, you know, about some things you need to obliterate, go ahead and write them down. If nothing else, when you finish this briefing, start writing out the answers to those questions. And if you don't do anything but that, begin that process. And that gets you on the way. Because again, you've gotten those thoughts out of your head. Writing gives things significance, and you have begun your plan. Because once you write your plan, you are accountable to you. You're accountable to yourself. So action begins with a commitment to act. So act. Sketch out your answers. If all you want to do is just jot some things down, do that, and then commit to taking small steps each day to put your plan into action. So there you have it. The magic of mindfulness is in the action plan.
Hey, this is your girl, Dr. Stephanie D. Barnes. Thank you for joining me on another episode of Living Life in the End for the woman who is set on getting everything she effing deserves. I hope you learned something, felt something, but most of all, girl, I hope you are ready to do something. Please be sure to let me know what you got out of this episode. Please subscribe so that you don't miss out on another great conversation. And of course, I'd love it if you would give us a rating and review and let me know how you are living life in the end. Because remember, life is too long to live unfulfilled. Your life is the product of your choices. Choose to commit to bringing the desires of your heart to completion. Let's get everything we deserve. Girl, let's get it.